Vinamadi Tamastu Madhidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so Western Ocean, Third Wave, Chapter 42, Fraternal Loving Affairs, from verse 3383. The flute as Udipana. O friends, do not go to the bank of the Jamuna to search for Krishna out of despair. For the messenger in the form of the flute sound from the top of Govardhana is telling us about him and is giving us pleasure. Right, so you don't have to go looking for him. By the flute, we know where he is. The flute's telling us where he is. Srila Prabhupada. The symptoms of the Kaishore age have already been described. And it is at this age that devotees generally most appreciate Krishna. Krishna, the Radharani, is worshipped as Kishore Kishori. This does not increase his age that although he is the oldest personality and has innumerable forms, his original form is always youthful. In the pictures of Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, we can see that he is youthful, although at that time he was old enough to have sons, grandsons, and great-grandsons. The cowherd boys, boyfriends of Krishna, once said, "Dear Krishna, you need not decorate your body with so many ornaments. Your transcendental features are themselves so beautiful that you do not require any ornamentation." At this age, whenever Krishna begins to vibrate his flute early in the morning, all of his friends immediately get up from bed just to join him in going to the pasture grounds. One of the friends once said, "My dear cowherd friends, the sound of Krishna's flute from above Govardhan Hill is telling us that we need not go to search him out on the bank of the Jamuna." Yes, so the flute, then it inspires them in their Krishna consciousness, that, you know, remembering Krishna. And we see here that the Prabhupada's bringing in this point of the Kaishore aspect, because he says the last stage of Palganda, that it starts having the flavor of Kaishore. So you can already see it there. No, excuse me. It's the
middle.
The middle starts having. It's the middle starts having. And then the end is very close to it. Well, because he already starts the rasa dance in the middle.
Is it mentioned anywhere? I mean, we see Krishna as a baby, he doesn't play a flute. At some point, he begins to play a flute. Is there a specific moment?
I would think.
Someone gives him a flute?
Or that, what? I haven't heard of any stories like that. I have not heard of that. But it's very common for the cowherd boys to have bugles and flutes and this and that, because they also have. So at least by the time he goes out into the fields, you would expect them to have. Because the flutes, they play them. It also pleases themselves, pleases the cows. The bugles are there so they know where everybody is, or by blowing them, then they call the cows, or if there's danger, or, you know, anything like that. So it would be standard kind of stuff, at least a bugle. And then the flute, it seems a lot of boys have them. So that sometimes they all get together and start playing. But I haven't heard of a story where someone gives them a flute.
I think Shiva Maharaj mentions in the Venugita book. Uh-huh. But I don't remember details because I read it many years. But yeah. Somehow he gets that flute, but I don't remember.
Okay. I mean, it's standard. You see, everybody gets things that are naturally there. So you like the peacock feather, then how that's arranged, and flute, and like that. You know, Arjuna gets his Gandiva, and then Krishna gets the Panchajanya. You know, so all these. But you see, they also have conch shells when they go out here. Mm. So some of them have that. So the conch shells or bugles or, you know, something they have. So it must be. It's not so prominent. It seems to be. It's not as prominent in the story as the other. It seems the Vaikuntha aspects, then that's very prominent. But the Braja aspects, then it doesn't seem that anybody... It appears that nobody's worried about how he got it. Well, when you get into the majesty, then it's, you know, it has some significance. Mm. You know, it's greatness there, and he got from here, and this and that. You know, Arjuna got his bow from... Agni brought it from Soma, who got it from this, and came from Brahma. You know, then it has some very significance. But in Braj, it's just nobody really cares about those things. You know, they just which would be Udipan in the Vaikuntha environment of, you know, the greatness of the Lord and the opulence of the Lord. In Vrindavan, it's just kind of standard stuff, so it doesn't invoke, even though they have greater opulence, it doesn't invoke reverence. And it's not, and the opulence is not formal, because there, because of the reverence, then the opulence is also in a formal position. Well, in Braj, it's just kind of stand. You know, the trees are Kalpavriksha, the cows are Saravis, and, you know, the dust is Chintamani. So, as was the discussion, I think, between Srivast Thakur and Sarup Damodar,
that argument.
Yeah, so then I think he was talking about how opulent it is, and Vrindavan just has sticks and, you know, dust and that. And then he said, yes, but one grain of dust is Chintamani, and from that springs all the opulence of Vaikuntha. So it just doesn't matter. So it won't be as important like that. You know, because the other one, there is times, there's a time for everything, because the Pancharatra, you know, the time and the cleanliness are very prominent elements within it, you know, the mediums. Well, in Braj, it's not. So it's just Krishna always, you know, gets a flute. So this Kaishora age being mixed into this Paugandha, that's what's giving the attractive features that makes them attractive for everybody. Because already from this middle of Paugandha, he's already performing the pastimes with the gopis. And so that is the Kaishora that makes it so universal. Because the parental appreciates, the gopis appreciate, the friends appreciate. So it is, yeah. 3384. The contrast, Udipana. Look, the five Pandavas, hearing the sound of the Panchajanya conch, became white like Shiva in great joy. Srila Prabhupada. Parvati, the wife of Lord Shiva, told her husband, "My dear," I guess that's Pancha, right? Oh, you don't have to be here. Panchamukha, five face, just look at the Pandavas. After hearing the sound of Krishna's conch shell, known as Panchajanya, they have regained their strength and are just like lions. 3385. The version says, it's interesting how taking the Sanskrit words, what you can get from them. Because they have the roots, but then how they're applied and the connection, the other philosophical and cultural elements, sometimes you get a much wider range like that. So that's what you see sometimes between the just more, you know, straight translation. And then Prabhupada's good. 3385. Diversions as Udipana. Dear friend, when Krishna put on Radha's clothing and appeared with bright pink cloth, golden limbs smeared with kumkuma, hair bound up beautifully in earrings, Subala was astonished and smiled. Srila Prabhupada. At this age, Krishna once dressed himself up exactly like Radharani, just to create fun amongst his friends. He put on golden earrings, and because he was blackish, he smeared the pulp of kumkum all over his body in order to become fair as she. By seeing this dress, Krishna's friend Subala became very astonished. Right? You know, it just creates fun. 3386-88. Pleasing Krishna by hand-to-hand combat, playing ball and dice, riding on each other's shoulders, stick fighting, sleeping and sitting with Krishna on a bed, seat or swing, telling pleasing jokes, playing in the water, and singing and dancing with Krishna are the activities, anubhavas, common to all types of friends. Right? So when they get inspired, then these are the natural activities that come up. You know, so it's just, they get inspired by Krishna and friendship, then they want to do something. They want to wrestle with him or play games or run around or do something. 3389. Krishna, pleasing Krishna by combat. K. killer of Aga, thinking that you are victorious with arms itching for battle. You wander amongst your friends praising your prowess. But tell me, seeing the action of my thick arms, having given up your eagerness to fight, can you remain standing there with weak limbs? Srila Prabhupada. Krishna played with his intimate friends, sometimes by fighting or wrestling with their arms, sometimes by playing ball, and sometimes by playing chess. Sometimes they carried one another on their shoulders, and sometimes they exhibited their expertness at whirling logs. At the cowherd friends used to please Krishna by sitting together with him on couches or on swings, by lying together on their beds, by joking together, and by swimming in the pool. All these activities are called anubhava. Whenever all the friends would assemble in the company of Krishna, they would immediately engage in all these functions, especially in dancing together. Regarding the wrestling, one friend once asked Krishna, "My dear friend, O killer of the Aga demon, you are very proud, wandering among your friends, trying to exhibit your arms as very strong. Is it that you are envious of me? I know that you cannot defeat me in wrestling, and I also know that you are sitting idly for a long time because you are hopeless of defeating me." Srila Jiva Goswami. Jita Kashi, literally clenched fist, means conveying victory, according to Kshiraswami. In this text, it means thinking himself victorious. So this clenching the fist and like that, that's also, you know, it's a very standard, idea of conveying victory. And you see, nowadays, people just do it naturally, when it just spontaneously comes up. You know. 3390. The activities of the Suhrits, those friends older than Krishna, are giving advice on what should be done or not done, engaging in beneficial acts, and being eager to perform all types of service. Srila Jiva Goswami. Yuta yudhadi, yuktadi katanam, means talking about what is suitable and what is not suitable, or pointing out what should be done and what should not be done. 3319. So they have this thing of teaching and doing that kind of aspect. 3391. Putting a tambula in Krishna's mouth, applying his tilak, smearing sandalwood on his body, and painting designs on his face are the activities of the shakas, those friends younger than Krishna. 3392. Defeating Krishna in battle, pulling his cloth, stealing flowers and other things from his hand, being decorated by Krishna, and hand-to-hand combat are the activities of the priya shakas, those friends of equal age as Krishna. Because if these ones, so each one does what they do, and the others are very satisfied in that. It's not that everybody wants to do everything, right? Because they're giving advice, the younger ones, the equals, the others wouldn't, that wouldn't be what they'd want to do. These other things of putting, but it says that they're equal to perform all kinds of service. So if there's something not being done, they can perform it. The younger may do these things, but it's not that the old elders can't do it. But if the youngers are doing it, you let them do it because that's their service. And then the wrestling and all these other things like that, that'll be done by those who are the equal. And so they're doing it, the others will watch and it'll be fun. So any of the interaction then will be pleasing to any of these friends. Any kind of that friendship service. So if it's not within your duties, then you will naturally appreciate what the other ones are doing. So, yeah. You know, like you see in that Gaurapriti, then the sons who are not sitting on Krishna's lap are glorifying the ones who are, you know, and how much pious activities and everything they have.
Alright. We know that among the gopis there is rivalry.
But that's
but
girls.
Not envy, so among boys it's different.
Yeah, no. You should only see us here as equals. Then there's that rivalry with Krishna, but amongst each other there aren't.
But among the girls, there is.
Yeah, that's just the way it is.
Never stopped.
Huh?
It never stopped.
I mean, never stopped or never stops. You were trying to make it more gentle, so that keep yourself out of the. Yeah, never stop. Yeah, like that. That's just the nature, because it's just that. Intensity is there. That's much greater. So the conjugal rasa has greater intensity. So you see that will that will naturally be part of the thing. And that's why then there's the different groups, because they want to please Krishna. But at the same time, as then they'll be between the groups, because it's understood is that Radharani, she can please Krishna better than others. So that's why they feel sad if Krishna's with another group, because he's not being as pleased as much as he would be if he's with Radharani's group. Like that. So it's just the nature of energy, because it's always moving, it's always changing, it's always creating variety. So it won't go away. It can be cooperative. If Krishna's made the center, then you can see they can all work together. Like Maharas, they can all work together because Krishna's the center. But other than that, it's just like, let's say, you see everyone's in the temple, and kirtan's going on, and they're all kind of, standing around and dancing and doing whatever they're doing. Then someone at the front, at front of the girl's side, starts doing a choreographed dance. The way she moves her arms or her step, a particular step, and the way it moves like that. And within basically a second, the whole group is doing it. Like that. So if it has that, they can do so well together. But if not, it'll be completely different. But the boy, somebody starts dancing, someone else might get inspired. It'll take a while, then he has to go around and get everybody else. And then eventually they get all the boys going. Of the girls, it's just like that. You can just watch it like a wave, just go to the back. So that's the thing. They can work more together or less together. Everything's more extreme. Like that. That's just, that's the way it is. It gives the intensity. Right? So here, if it's connected to Krishna, then it becomes very nice. It doesn't mean it won't have the same intensity. But if it's not connected to Krishna, then that's where difficulties come up. Because nature is nature, it's going to be that way. It's not going to adjust. So, that way you'll have your friends and you'll have your how you say?
Less friends.
Huh?
Less friends.
Yeah, less friends. And really less friends. 3390-394. Carrying messages among the young women of Raja, encouraging the gopis' love for Krishna, taking Krishna's side when the gopis are present and Krishna is not present. Showing skill as siding with the chief gopis when Krishna is present but the gopis are not. And arguing intensely by whispering in each other's ears are the activities of the Priya Narmashakas. They'll do all those things. Yeah, what you see is when Krishna's not there, then they'll, represent Krishna. What do you mean? And at the same time, they're always encouraging, and then at the same time, then they'll take the side of the chief gopis when Krishna's present. The other gopis aren't. Yes.
When the gopis are not there, then they'll side the gopis' side. When the Krishna is not there, then
So Krishna's saying one thing, then they'll side with the gopis if they're not there. So in other words, who's not represented, they'll take that part. Just because what does it do? It encourages the conjugal flavor like that. Centered around Krishna, that's the whole point. Encouraging Krishna, gopis' love for Krishna. It's all centered around Krishna. Just like that. So, Radharani's upset Krishna's not there, they'll take Krishna's side. But Krishna's, saying something about Radharani, she's not there, they'll take Radharani's side. Because it just encourages the flavor.
Also arguing by whispering into ears, having intense arguments by whispering into ears.
Yeah, because then you're like that, Lord. You see it sometimes when there's something going on, or a class, or a program, and there's something like that's going on in the back. Srila Prabhupada. Another important pastime of the friends of Krishna was that they served as messengers to and from the gopis. They introduced the gopis to Krishna and canvassed for Krishna. When the gopis were in disagreement with Krishna, these friends would support Krishna's side in his presence. But when Krishna was not present, they would support the side of the gopis. This is another angle he's bringing out. In this way, sometimes supporting one side, sometimes the other, they would talk very privately, with much whispering in the ears, although none of the business was very serious. You know, it's very intense, as if it's so important, but it's not very serious. Srila Jiva Goswami. Pranaya Gamita means being sympathetic to their love. When Krishna engages in various pastimes with the gopis, the Priyanama Shakas side with Krishna when the gopis are present and Krishna is not. When the gopis are not present, however, and Krishna is present, they are skilled in siding with the gopis heading the various groups. It should be understood that if both Krishna and the gopis are present, they take Krishna's side. Karna Karni was explained in 2.1.3.3.3. Engaging as if in battle, whispering to each other when disagreements takes place. Footnote 8, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.1.3.3.3 states. An example of attractiveness of the late Kaishora period, so you see, is that also is that coming later. Because you're going to see in the beginning it'll have that kind of more newness to it. And then it will take on the more, as the sense of possession is more, then it will take on these kind of features. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh Krishna, today your age of youth, in the role of guru, is teaching the golden gopis the art of whispering in each other's ears, the method of making verses of praise from messengers when alone, cleverness in cheating husbands, practice in sneaking to the forest at night, deafness to the words of the elders, and rapt hearing of the flute sound. Srila Prabhupada. Some of the gopis addressed him thus, "Dear Krishna, because of your adolescent age, you have just become the spiritual master of these young girls. You are teaching them to whisper among themselves. You are teaching them to offer solemn prayers, as well as training them to cheat their husbands and to join you in the gardens at night, without caring for the instructions of their superiors. You are enthusing them by the vibration of your enchanting flute, and as their teacher, you are teaching them all the intricacies of loving affairs." Srila Jiva Goswami. These verses speak of the attractiveness of the last part of youth. Thus, in all three parts of youth, here the youth meaning Kaishora. Right? The description of attractiveness should be understood to be similar. Because of frequent disagreement, the gopis have the tendency to whisper among each other as if engaged in battle with each other. Yeah? So you see all these different aspects that are there. No?
Just a kind of a side point. I was reading yesterday that Radha and Krishna are having an argument, and Purnamasi chastises Radharani for having that argument. And Radharani addresses Purnamasi, "My dear mother." I was wondering, why does she address her as "my dear mother"?
Because she's a senior, you know.
It's a respectful term.
Yeah, it's a respectful term. That's why we use the term in general, just Mataji.
Right.
For all ladies, it's respect, because the G means it's respect.
Yes.
You know, so that's there. Even you see sometimes, depending on the culture, probably more than even the younger girls will call Mataji. They're just the proper, like that. Here, down to a certain age, not too young.
Yes.
But you'll find like in very far, you know, north and around Braj and that, even little girls, like 3, they'll call them Mataji. You know, like that. You know, just like that. And they'll also dress in Vrindavan, all girls cover their head. Outside of the Vrindavan area, a lot of places and you know, north and that, only when they're married they cover their head. But in Vrindavan they always cover their head.
You mean now? Not traditionally?
Yeah, you see, Radharani and everybody cover their heads.
Oh, okay.
It's a brudge thing. Covering the head for girls is a brudge thing. When you get into Vaikuntha, then they wear crowns and other things like that. But covering the heads, that. So then, you know, our academic friends, and they always bring out, no, it's introduced by the moguls and all that. It says,
yeah.
Name me one mogul that ever wore a sari before they came through the Khyber Pass. Just one. You know, they wore 4 hats or something. Or, you know what I'm saying? They didn't have these things. Saris are into, they took up the dress here because it was so much more refined and so, you know, very attractive and beautiful. They took it up. So it comes from here. They may also do, But the point is, you have to remember, how many years back is Muhammad? 700, 900?
700.
700. Yeah, so the point is that it goes back farther than that, they're covering their heads. So to say it's introduced by the Mughals, you know, it's like, well, what are you talking about? You know? And even if it was, then what were they, if they came back 1,000 years ago, when Muhammad was, where did that come from? You know, was that a Christian influence? Where was it? You know, so that's the thing, is that they say all these things just trying to say is that, oh, we don't have to do these things. You know, because it's Muhammad, we don't have to do it. But if it's Christian, we'll do it.
I had a conversation at Varshala with one devotee just last December, and he said the Muslim came in and they forced the woman to cover their heads. You go to South India, no woman covers their head, and he's from South India.
Yeah. Yes, of course. But where is this culture from South India coming from? Is it coming from Vrindavan? Right? No. It's coming from Vaikuntha. And Kailash.
That's right.
So, naturally, it's a different thing. They all wear crowns. It's a standard thing.
And also, in Mahabharata, the South Indian part, they are considered as like the bolder type. They're like free-flowing kind of people.
Yeah. So. They're Dravidians. They're one of the groups of, you know, fallen. Dravidians are technically fallen Kshatriyas. So you go back millions of years, at some point they were Kshatriyas who somehow gave up following the properly the Vedic culture and they become Dravidians. Like Kashas. Kashas were also had that Kshatriya aspect. And then like that. So different groups are Natas, they were Kshatriyas when they became actors. So you do have this thing, is that yes, they were like that. So they're considered kind of, yeah, like you said, on the border, on the edge. So that's not a standard to take at all. And that. And yes, in South they don't, but North they do. You know, so it's a standard thing. So this whole, you know, and why would the Hindus base something on the Muslims? What do you mean they forced? That's one that they forced. You know, they took up following what in India they were doing. Because they're just so much more attractive. Because also you have the thing is that in South, the culture and the nature and that, they're a different group of people. The girls don't put energy into their hair. They just don't put energy in their body. Like you're talking to them, they'll just stand there straight. They just talk very straight and everything like that. Well, in North, they put energy into their hair. And they're always playing with their hair and doing something with their hair. South, they never touch their hair. Because if you touch your hair, you got to wash your hands. So they don't. So it's different. So then that whole thing is then by the natural thing, you put the cloth on the head, then you can play with your hair, though you're not playing with your hair. You have something to do with it. In South, it's just they just stand straight. Well, North, it's something to play with, something to do.
Taking Rajasthan.
Yeah. So you just see, it's just the nature of what's there. It has nothing to do with the Muslims. You know, the academics, where they have their head, it's too dark to see the books properly, so they don't get a good, cannot give a good
view.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Also, from the beginning, just as in South India, the Mughals could never rule, the Rajputs of Rajasthan were never under control. They had their own rules.
Yeah.
So they were following whatever tradition they were going.
Yeah. Because, like, Jaipur was never conquered by them. You know, because they were so powerful, they made a treaty to that they won't bother, we won't bother you, you don't bother us.
Mm.
But they meant they were following their own culture. They weren't under the rule of anybody. Other places maybe, but not there. Yeah, and they're the ones that are most famous for, you know, the covering the head and that kind of, that whole scene. You know, all our paintings are all like that. Yeah. They really go for it. So these things they're just part of the natural culture that is there because it's a matter of an expressionist udipan. You know? Like if something is goes wrong and all that, there's a whole bunch of people, the tendency is to cover your head. You know, if you don't want people to notice, let's just like, let's say, there's a girl going down the street, she doesn't want to be noticed. Will she put the hood on her hoodie up or leave it down? She'll put it up. She'll really pull it forward, look down, and the whole thing, stay out of the way, move her shoulders in, you know, like that, you know, move like that. What if she wants to be noticed? Then she's going to take it off, unzip it, you know, walk, put her shoulders back.
No hoodie.
Yeah, or no hoodie, you know. But I mean, just in, say she had the hoodie, and then she notices, you know, yeah, like that. So it's just natural. So there, it just matches the culture. And all that. Because you see, when they're with themselves, just walking through the forest, no one's there, going to Nandagam, then they're walking and, you know, holding, you know, had their arms around each other's waist and talking and joking and that. As they're walking, their cloth falls off their head. And they don't fix it. They just keep talking and laugh. But as soon as they get to the outskirts of Nandagam, immediately they stop, they put cover their heads, they put their heads down, they move to the side of the road. Otherwise, they just take up the road. Like that. I've always noticed that it's impressive that you can have a huge, doesn't matter how big the sidewalk is, one lady can take up the whole sidewalk. How they do, I have no idea. But you're walking, and she'll be, let's say, walking in the middle. Then you go to move to the left to go around. She'll just somehow or another very, you know, just very subtly start moving to the left. Then you have to drop back a bit, you know. Then you go to move the right, she'll move to the right. And she's not even looking. It just happens.
It's like pedestrians in India. They do the same, doesn't matter their gender.
But I've noticed it more in the ladies. The men, it'll be there a little bit, but you can get around. The ladies,
they
can't
will
get around.
Freeze probably in the middle.
Yeah, no, walking down the middle, that's everything. That's standard.
But I'm saying that they see you, you try to go this way. They also go this way. You try to go that way. They also.
But you're walking towards them or behind them?
I'm driving.
Oh, that's another thing. But on the walking, they somehow can sense just where the energy is going. Where the energy is, they want to be, you know, they just go. Like that. So the whole point is that it's explained that they do like that. That, you know, they're walking down the middle of a path and everything like that. But when they get to Nandagam, then they go and they walk on the side. It's just the nature.
It's like here when you take darshan or Anumanava. You're standing there. There's half a meter between you and another person. And on each side it's empty space. And someone has to come in between. It's like, why are you doing this?
Yes. It's just the energy, because that's where it's happening. That's where people are, so that's where you have to go.
You have to go and squeeze this space. No, squeeze in.
No, that's why, if you're worried about that, means Nrisingadev, where he is, that line, that arch, not the next one, then that one after that. Stand in that line, no one will bother you. Especially towards the corners. Between, you know, Prabhupada in that corner.
Yeah.
Or there's also the next arch, but the one after that they'll walk through.
Right.
So those places, or behind, you know, Prabhupada, next to Prabhupada on either side.
Yeah.
That also no one bother you. See, just there's certain areas that just, if you're sensitive to that, just stand there and they won't bother you.
Anyway, I have a weapon now. I have all these, they can't go through my arm.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's funny.
Now you just sneeze and nobody will.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you sneeze twice, then there's a big, quick area around.
Yeah, then you can just move forward. Yeah, you sneeze loudly and everyone like that. Sneeze again, everyone moves that up. You just go right up to the front and take that. Yeah, that's. So you have all these different aspects. So you're saying when Krishna is in disagreement, he's trying to support Krishna. When Krishna's not present, they support the gopis. Because the whole point is to bring them together. Because the gopis is a group, there's one Krishna. Then if he has his group, it creates a fight. You know, then it's more. Like when the holy, then all the boys will be on Krishna's side, the girls on Radharani's side. You know, but at the same time, as the acharyas also mentioned, that you sometimes see it the other way. Krishna's not present, then if they're arguing, then they'll take that side. So it's just whichever is good for enhancing the rasa, then they'll do. So 3395-96. Decorating Krishna with forest flowers and jewel ornaments, singing and dancing in front of Krishna, caring for the cows, massaging his body, fanning him, as well as other activities, are activities that the friends share in common with the dasas. It means the servants will also do these. Among all the anubhava's activities mentioned previously, some which are suitable, although not mentioned here, are also accepted as anubhavas of the friends by the wise. Srila Prabhupada, the servants of Krishna were sometimes engaged in collecting flowers, decorating his body with valuable ornaments and trinkets, dancing before him, singing, helping him herd the cows, massaging his body, preparing flower garlands, and sometimes fanning his body. These were some of the primary duties of the servants of Krishna. The friends and servants of Krishna were combined together in serving him, and all their activities are known as anubhava. Right, so then those younger boys, the what are they called? Those are the shakas? Shakas are the younger ones, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So then them and the servants will be doing similar activities like that. And then you're also the anubhavas, the activities. So we see is that the anubhavas, the activity that comes afterwards. So you can see also there's a difference. Different will be a difference there in the anubhava and the sattvika bhava. Sattvika bhava is something that this involuntarily happens like that. But it's, you know, it's transcendental ecstasy. But the anubhava, there can be an actual response to the udipan in which you render service. So that inspiration, rendering a service in that's an anubhava. It may produce certain kinds of ecstatic symptoms, but we see it has that element of being active. It's not just a result of something. It's a result meaning that it's a passive thing where it's just you're experiencing, but it's an active engagement in an activity connected with Krishna that enhances that situation of udipa. Mm. Yeah? 3397. Sattvika bhavas, paralysis. When Krishna emerged from the water after conquering Kaliya, Sridharma wanted to embrace him immediately, but his thick arms became paralyzed and he was unable to lift them. Srila Prabhupada. When Krishna came out from the Jamuna after chastising the Kaliya Naga, Sridharma wanted to embrace him first, but he could not raise his arms because of his great feeling of respect. 3398. So that was because of the respect of that, they became paralyzed. So that was the 3398, perspiration. When the cloud called Mukunda appeared during the period, when the moon entered Svati constellation, made the pleasing sounds of rumbling from the flute, and rained blissful showers of joyful pastimes, the oyster in the form of Sridharma, giver of wealth, began to produce pearls as perspiration. So you see, it goes back and forth between, you know, Krishna is the cloud, you know, when the moon enters the Swasti constellation, it seems during that time, then that the raining, you can get pearls and stuff like that. There's certain constellations that it'll create pearls like that. And so that's why you may not see it, because it has to rain during that when the moon enters Swasti and these kind of things, and you get. So here, then, you go back and forth, and then Krishna, and then the oyster form, Sridharma, then he produces the pearls, you know, in the form of perspiration. So very poetic. Srila Prabhupada. When Krishna used to play on his flute, the vibration appeared just like the roaring of clouds in the sky during the constellation of Swati. According to Vedic astronomical calculation, if there's a rain during the constellation of the Swati star, any rain falling on the sea will produce pearls, and rain falling on a serpent will produce jewels. Similarly, when Krishna's flute roared like the thunder cloud under the Swasti constellation, the resulting perspiration on Sridharma's body appeared to be just like pearls. 3399. Surely, gemologists don't know this one.
Is this metaphorical?
Means the producing of them. That's the fact.
Yeah.
But the metaphor is comparing Sri Dhamma and Krishna's flute and that to that situation. Right. So then Krishna's playing of the flute is like the clouds thundering and raining during the Swati constellation.
Yes.
And then Sri Dhamma is like the oyster that then produces pearls,
okay.
You know, and which happens to be in the form of perspiration.
It's a poetic embellishment.
Yes, yeah. Like that. But that pearls are produced from the rain and during that. That's the way it is. That's
yes.
The fact.
So, like even the poets know so much alchemy.
Yeah. So otherwise, how do you if you don't know all these things, then how do you compare? So that's the whole point is. In the poetry, you're trying to produce a particular flavor, a particular taste.
Mm.
But you have to use some external form to compare it to.
Some real facts.
Yes, some real facts to compare it to. So that's the whole point, is that for the taste of the Icha Shakti, you express it through the forms of the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis.
Mm.
Like that. But it's about the taste in relation to Krishna. So that's where the material consciousness comes in, is we give up that form and we take it that the taste is in the jnana and kriya itself and results of that. But it's not. The taste is in the connection to Krishna. That's why even someone gets money, gets facility, gets position, they're still not satisfied. Because you can't get the taste unless it's connected to Krishna. So we'll take, okay, the activity, the result is connected to Krishna. But ultimately, it's just the rasa is connected to Krishna, and these are used as a form. But to elevate yourself, yes, that will work to take any of these aspects of samana, abhideya, and prayojana connected to Krishna. But it's actually the prema that is the thing being tasted through the forms of samana, abhideya, and prayojana. Does that make sense?
Again, it's like, I mentioned because I got so attached to reading that book, Mukta Charita. The whole issue of the pearl, actually it's not the pearl.
No.
The whole dealing, the whole book is about, okay, how much is it, where are you going to get it? Well, there's a price to pay, where are you coming from? It's all about increasing the rasa.
That's all. It's an excuse for Radha and Krishna to get together. It's just like, let's say you have, after the darshan arti, and outside there's, some shoes, kind of close to the door. Is there any reason that group of young girls needs to dally there? Not at all. But where the shoes are, everyone's going to come out there. So either if they're dallying there waiting for this and that, someone will stick a note in a shoe, mm-hmm. or they're waiting out there for somebody to come out to put on their shoes. Right? And so it's not even just because there's three different places you can come out, but which one is the place where the shoes are of the particular individual of interest, that's where they'll be.
Sure.
We have 40 years of experience.
Message in the shoes.
Yeah, well, it's always in the shoes because the guy will stick the vent. What's that,
Not anymore. With the iPad, with the phones.
Oh yeah, well now the phone you can do, but before when there are no phones, it's the shoes. So that's the glory of the peg shoes, is you can't do that. So.
That's the reason.
Yeah, that's exactly why all the saintly persons in India, renunciates, always use peg shoes, because you can't stick a note there.
Some clothes you don't have pockets.
So all these things are just no free. But now Crocs, now that's some. But the problem is Crocs, you can see holes, and somebody sees. Nobody will notice, but the elder women will notice, and they'll see what's in that shoe, And then they'll walk. Then they'll stand to the side and also dally to see who puts on the shoes. Then it's like okay, and then they'll work it out.
You roll the message within each hole.
Looks like a porcupine.
It's like a waving wall.
yeah, it's the
game.
So all these things are just reasons. Like the guys are hanging out on the corner. Why do they need to hang out on the corner? Why are the girls hanging out on the other corner? Why go and hang out down at the whatever it is that there's always that place where everybody goes to for snacks.
Mm.
But you know, you just go in, get your snack, leave. But no, everyone hangs out there for hours. Why? Because people will come by, do this, that. These are just all excuses for interaction. So it's like you said, all these things are just excuses to get together. And to increase that, then, you know, then they have to argue over it and this and that, because otherwise it's just, hi, how are you? You know, yeah, I'm fine, how are you? Yeah, I'm good, you know, what's happening with you? No, I'm okay, what's happening with you? You know, it's just, you know, how long can you do that? You know. So, no.
And if that doesn't work, then the next step is you get yourself a big motorbike.
Yeah, that also.
Enfield.
Yeah, but then you have to drive slow.
Long.
Yeah, but you have to drive slow. The TBS, that's the standard one. The big bike, once you get, then after that, then all the money for the bike you have to put elsewhere, so then you get the TBS. So. You have to know your priorities. Yeah, it's just a medium. All these things are a medium. So all what we're doing is a medium. Like have a kirtan, we have six times a day kirtan. It's a reason to glorify Krishna and come together and do something. So these are all just ways to. So that's why the form is the natural form. So the Vedas are recommending all these different forms because they're the natural forms to use. But it's not about the form. Like you're saying, it's not about growing pearls like that. It's about an opportunity for Radha and Krishna to get together and have a wonderful pastime. You know, in that, then, you know, the adults would be involved and people would get embarrassed. And, you know, it's just all part of this whole scene. Like that. You know, like the boat pastime. You know, it's like, you know, they have to go across. And, you know, then there's that whole pastime of Mani Siganga. Or they're just excuses. You know, the Surya worship. You know, they're just excuses to come together. Like that. And it just, all it does is increase the fun. That's why you see the maximum wide range of variety of uniqueness in the conjugal ras. The other rasas, you know, specifically what they're going to be doing is pretty straightforward. But you see in the conjugal ras, it'll change from moment to moment. That whatever happened yesterday, the same situation, it won't be the same today. For the cowherd boys, the same situation will tend to do the same thing. You know? Like that. But the gopis, even if it's the same, they won't do the same thing. Does that make sense? Because if you do the same thing, then the experience will be the same. So it's not something different. So where's the variety? Plus, if it's the same, then you were talking of the experience. Okay, but the experience depends upon the endeavor. Right? Means how much attraction is there, how much endeavor is there, is how much results are there, is the intensity of the experience. Right? So now if you have the same situation that you had yesterday, and it had a particular experience because of the endeavor that's made, so now, is the man going to make the same endeavor? Or it's now familiar, so there's not going to be as much concentration. And because there's not as much concentration and focus and all that, is there going to be that the same intensity of experience? So therefore, whatever it is, you have to change it. Does this make sense?
Yeah. So, a few months ago downstairs, we were discussing something similar, remember? And you mentioned that yeah, we're talking about the time factor and how in the rasa, the time factor does not factor in, and therefore, even if the gopis or the cowherd boys do the same thing, every time Yogamaya arranges that for them, it's always for the first time, and therefore it's ever fresh.
That's there. That's there. But you have the element, because the general activities are always going to be the same. But I mean, so that's a different aspect that you're bringing out, is that it's meeting Krishna is like meeting for the first time, though they've already met. So yes. So the feelings of separation and all that are going to be different than if they haven't met. You know, the Purva Rag and all that. But what we're meaning is that, like Radharani never cooks the same preparation twice. there's always some slight adjustment to it. Because you have, I mean, it's just, you have seven notes in music, and you can make so much variety in melodies and all that. Then you add into that the beat, you know, like that, and that, so the mathematical aspect of it. And so there's so many different things that you can create unlimited. So in the same way as cooking, you have so many different styles, you have so many different spices, you have so many different ways to cut things, or that, or what you want to bring out. And so then you can do that and get so many different varieties. So in here is that, because it's already been done, it's present. There is, because of time, it's unaffected. So something that was done, let's say, at the last Rasa dance, that experience is still present.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, you're going to do something different from that to bring out Krishna's pleasure. But it also is, by making it different, then it gives Krishna something to do. Because he makes an endeavor. Because that's the fun of it, is that even though he's the center of attention, he performs an activity in the masculine principle, you know, directed at the gopis to experience the variety of their affection. So that's why the masculine element always needs to be kept in something new. Because otherwise, on their own, the man will do the same thing day in, day out with zero change. Only if something happens, there's an earthquake, you know, that, so then he'll, you know, walk on the other side of the street or something, you know, because this side of the street, you know, the building collapsed. But the women will always make a variety, even if it's the same. Even you have, let's say, you set up the house, it's perfect. Unless, oh, this is the best ever, this and that. After a certain amount of time, the guy will be pushing furniture around. Right? And that. And then when that's all done and you've tried everything like that, now it's time to change the curtains. Or change the upholstery. Or change, you know, something else. Or
change the home.
Yeah, that's another one. You know, or at least add on. Do something that's different. So it just...
Change the
husband. Yeah, if things are really not good, then yeah, you could...
That's risky, actually.
Yeah, it's risky. Because
used by date.
Yeah. You have the... What is the saying? What's that? It's gone. It's something along... Better the trouble you know than the trouble you don't know. But the exact words are, I don't. But that's...
As the contemporary situation, they don't even get to the curtains.
Mm-hmm. Don't get to the?
To the changing curtains.
Oh, okay, yeah. You're not going to say sorry. Yeah. But it also depends on the fineness of the girl and how subtly she can make the changes. You know, because even just rearranging the things on the coffee table, you know, moving to the different corner or putting you in a different pattern, that itself gives a variety. You know, for some, if they don't have that refinement, they have to do things more grossly. So, you know. That makes sense?
Yes. This is one of the reasons that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, although he recommends Astakala Lila meditation, he doesn't recommend it for neophytes.
Yes.
Because for neophytes, you know, demons... You know, should be killed. You know, a lot of external action, which is connected. You know, for Boma Lila.
Yes.
And then people feel inspired to read, to engage in meditation.
Right.
But then Astakala Lila is too subtle for them.
Yeah.
Although, as you mentioned, that the setup is standard, but what happens, it's always variety.
Yeah.
So then it's very advanced meditation actually.
Yeah.
But you know, Thakur mentions this.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
In Vajrahasya.
Okay,
so why?
Yeah. Because you have to have a structure, but at the same time, there's variety within the structure, so it varies the taste. So that you have to have that balance on what structure stays and what's not. You know, just like you're going to have lunch, that generally stays. What you eat for lunch, that may vary. So you have that balance between the structure and variety. You know, so that's the whole thing, it's a balance between the masculine and the feminine. Because if there's no structure, then it could be anything, and you could end up with nothing. If there's structure, then you know there's at least a general. Yes?
That's why as boys, as soon as we reach teenage, we are never in home, even in holidays. because mother can engage you whole day. Just
I see. Yeah.
Don't stay in home. Do whatever. Go out in the morning. Come in the evening.
That's true. As soon as he gets in, that's it. He's mine.
What kind of mothers do you have?
No, but they're always to have something to interact with them, engage.
It's like you want a special item on Sunday, you cook, otherwise I'll cook normally. That's middle class family, how things are done. The children, you want to puri and nice things, so then you get the thing, you do it. I will do how much I can there.
Because that's when you're at home. If it's you know, special, you know, you have a few free days, then it works.
Mm.
But if it's permanent, then you know, you have to start pulling your own weight. Yeah. So in other words, these mother being involved is up to the time when the square corners manifest.
The square corners.
Does that make sense? When they're young, they have that very round face, mm-hmm. and then there's a time in the kind of late teens, early 20s, when their face gets really square,
mm-hmm.
and they're like that, and then after that, it balances again and goes, all right, they're kind of up to that point. At that point, that's when you start working. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then you can go hang out with the grandmother, then it works.
Grandmother sometimes even worse.
Can be. Depends on how much in control she is.
She'll not control, but she can make you do far out stuff which mother even can't think of.
Yeah.
60 years of
because they have they have time to plan, you know, they were planning this for years and then
It's like the buzzword, like the word you said, a boy like no to work. Mother, it's like she doesn't know many because she doesn't have more experience. Grandmother can tell like far out words to make you do the work.
Yeah. She knows how to bring out the masculine ego to. You know, it's like I think it was one lady was explaining about. She was saying, of course we can open the door. But, you know, it's like how much power is there, or how much influence, or how much is there that the guy is going to go out of his way to run over to open the door, you know. So it's just, you know, this thing is, oh, they're patronizing. No, it's you're controlling. Just that they're not subtle enough to understand what's going on. It's like you said, like the grandmother. Completely control. Oh, I can't do this. Could you do this? I'm getting too old. Like that. She can easily do it because the house is, when you walk into the house, it's in perfect shape. And then she's saying, oh, I can't do this. So.
But the modern men, they say that, you know, after I fixed the tub, fixed the ceiling, I fixed everything, then I'm thinking, why should I get married? Should I? If I need it myself. It's a lady who is thinking. So it's the opposite now.
Yeah. Because the point is why would you think that if it's a matter of return? So if you put in that much effort with very little or no return, then why you get involved? Or what to do? So that's why in the Vedic system the men are trained. You go to Gurukul, you train. Then you see is that it works nicely. So brahmacharya and all that, then it works nicely. That makes sense. You see them they're strong, but at the same time, they're submissive.
Very much.
Yeah. So it's a different paradigm. So everybody in the culture is like that. Then you have it's very strong. Does that make sense? So you see is that means you're going to have with the third generation, then the grandparents are devotees. So you have three generations of devotees. And so that way is good. But when you have it that third generation is the grandparents, then the three generations will have the same culture, the same experience, same background. That's when you'll see it will be very, very strong. But you'll already see it get strong in the third generation. Like that. that it'll be the most when you're singing the third, fourth, fifth, at the fifth. Then it's complete.
So it's basically 100 years.
Yeah.
And then the whole cycle.
Yeah, then it's very strong. So that's why it's, I mean, and if you look at it, if you're talking about 10,000 years of the golden age, 100 years to get it to work is not a big deal. You know, it's like you look at the Roman Empire. You know, we look at it that, you know, 700 years, and then, you know, after 700 years, then we take note of the Roman Empire. You know, and then it lasted for 400 and then disappeared. You know, so. Huh. 3399, hair standing on end, from Donna Kaylee Kalmudi. O Subala, you are fortunate because in the presence of the elders, you embrace Krishna freely, spreading out your arms with hair standing on end, and Krishna places his arm on your shoulder. Tell me, at which pure holy place did you perform innumerable austerities? Srila Prabhupada, when Krishna and Subala are embracing one another, Srimati Radharani became a little envious. And hiding her hot temper, she said, my dear Subala, you are very fortunate because even in the presence of superiors, you and Krishna have no hesitation in putting your arms on each other's shoulders. I think it must be admitted that in your previous lives, you have succeeded in many kinds of austerities. The idea is that although Radharani was accustomed to putting her arms on Krishna's shoulders, it was not possible for her to do such a thing in the presence of her superiors. Whereas Subal could do so freely. Radharani therefore praised his good fortune. Srila Jiva Goswami. These are Radha's mental words of regret. Elders refers to persons like Sri Rama, Balaram, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as Sri Nanda as an elder. As an elder.
Mental words of regret? Why is it mental words? It's unspoken?
It could be that, but I mean, she's feeling that.
Oh.
And whether it's spoken or not, you know, it doesn't matter, because there'll be times it may be spoken, times it's not, because it doesn't happen just once.
So she feels that way.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's that they can, you know. And also it's interesting about, it says placing arms on the shoulders. Placing your arms on Krishna's shoulders. Because in the translation it's more about embracing. But Prabhupada puts it more putting arms on the shoulders. It says that place your arm on his shoulder, you know, like that. But there's arms on the shoulder, it's a different thing. The boys don't do that.
Yeah.
The girls do.
That's true.
Does that make sense? He's putting arm on the shoulder, that you see, like Balaram does. That kind of he does. But the embracing, they just put their hands like that on their shoulders. And then talk and interact and stuff like that. So she can do that. When the elders are there, she can't. So it's also an indication on, and it brings out the conjugal aspect and the kaishor aspect of it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
There must be a very close connection between this and the Italians. Yeah. The Italians are so physical.
Yeah, yeah, no, there's no physical. They had their day, but they blew it 400 AD. You know, could have been everybody would have been Italian, right? You
know, we wouldn't mind that. Yeah. I mean, Jews or Italians, it's okay.
Italian Jews?
Yeah.
I don't
think
so.
No.
We do.
No.
That must be really.
No, we don't have. This is your speculation.
It's not by German.
Huh?
It's not by German.
Not biological Italians. Spanish, yes, but not Italians.
Yeah, because
they don't have Italian Jews.
But there are some Jews who live in Italy.
That's another thing. do they act like Italians? Because that would be such a show. Completely, yeah, yeah, totally. You can see the Hasid sitting there.
But in Israel, they're also very kind of emotional.
Yeah, I think it's the whole. Yeah, I think we say Italians because of Europe, but I think it's the whole Mediterranean.
Yeah, Mediterranean.
It'll be on both sides of the
Greece.
Water.
We can say
yeah.
all those who eat olives and drink olive oil.
Maybe that's it. Olive somehow that makes your arms move more. Yeah, because it just, how you say,
activate.
Oils the joints so well that there's, you know, and inspires the life airs.
You know, it's interesting. Just before coming, we were having. In the middle of the annual Yatra meeting with all the foreign preachers, normally we do it in Hong Kong, but we're Zooming. And this Mahatma Prabhu was giving his observation dealing with the Chinese people. And he said, some devotees have come to him and said, my father never held my hand.
Yeah.
My mother never held me.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Never.
No, in the tradition, at least I can't say in common, but it would feel like the emperors and all that. Then I think there would be one time or something, you know, if it's a really special occasion or that, the grab his small daughter by the waist and pick her up above his head and put her down, and that's a once in a lifetime thing that they would do. It wouldn't be done. It has to be a very special occasion.
I mean, it's changed completely now. I mean, they just can't, you know, they can't let go of the kids now.
Before, never.
Yeah. Even if you see that, even in Europe, the aristocracy,
yeah.
the nannies
yeah.
raise the children,
yeah.
and then in the evening they dress them up, bathe them, dress them up, take them down for dinner. Parents will talk to them, they pat them on the head, you know, like this, and then the nannies take them back upstairs. You know,
yeah, it's very formal kind of report
yeah.
kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, very like, formal. You know, you're just going. You know, that's the. Children are, not, are seen but not heard.
Mm-hmm. There's some
advantages. It does have. I mean, it says each has its, you know, the Vedic, it'll have a balance. So in other words, it's not overly sentimental, but at the same time, it's totally personal. So where it's needed, it's there, and where it's not, it's not. So it's because you don't have any personal material motive to gain from it. So it's not something, you know. Some sense. In other words, the holding the child is for the child's benefit. But nowadays, it may be more for the parent's benefit. You know, so then it becomes a problem, because if it's for the child's benefit, as they grow up and that's needed less, it just naturally pull back. Because you don't see so much, at least previously in the Indian culture, when kids become teenagers, that the relationship gets any less. In fact, there you can be more involved in conversations and activities. It becomes more dynamic, especially, you know, like that. But in the Western thing, because they're holding on so much, when they get big, they don't want to be held on to, then it's kind of like, well, where's the relationship? Well, originally, it's always as people. And it's just, you're small, therefore you have to physically touch them. And when they get bigger, you don't.
Yes. Actually, when they become teenagers, they hold on the grandparents and move them around.
Okay.
There's always
quality.
But who holds
them? It switches. Now they hold. Yeah.
They hold the grandparents. And
when they get older, then they hold their parents.
Or elder sisters and younger brothers. Always. Or smaller sister you have.
Yeah.
Not so much with the parents anymore, but with the siblings or with grandparents.
Yeah.
That's where the grandmother has her.
She has the control. Yeah, no, that's okay. Grandmothers have total control. In Kerala, it's like officially, how you say, recognized. Yeah, that it's matriarchal there. But everywhere else in India, it's the same thing, just they keep it more subtle so it doesn't, you know.
Jewish is the same.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like that.
My grandma was that short. I told everybody, my family.
Yeah. Yeah, if you get out of hand, she'll bite your kneecap, right?
And
that's very convenient.
20, 25 years ago in India, it's a common thing. The grandmother has her advisor, who is the great-grandmother. She used to also live. She has an advisor also about her to how to...
Yeah, she runs the advantage, and the great-grandmother doesn't. That was also the advantage, that when girls would marry earlier, then you'd have like four generations. These would be standard. Well, nowadays, generally you get into grandparents, three generations. Sometimes you don't.
Mm.
But there you easily have four, if not more. But, you know, and that's really far out. You know, if you think of the great-grandchildren, you know, grandchildren are cool, but great-grandchildren, that's even more far out.
So,
then you'll see that. Okay. 33100. Trembling, change of color, choking of the voice, fainting. When Krishna entered into Kaliya's lake, the friends became afflicted with trembling. They lost their color and from some time could not speak properly. It fell on the ground and became unconscious. Srila Jiva Goswami. This verse illustrates four sattvika bhavas: trembling, change of color, choking of the voice, and fainting. The order of the bhavas in the verse is not according to the order originally given in verse 2:3:16. For some time, kshanat, their voices were choked up. Then they fell on the ground. Then they stopped moving. Shushuptim here means that they stopped movement rather than sleeping. So he's just showing the order. Because sometimes when you say in order, something will be out of order. But then he's showing technically how it would go. Tears. Seeing the forest fire spread around the cotton from dry reeds, Krishna's friends, not considering their own bodies, surrounded Krishna on all sides, appearing to extinguish the fire with the tears from their eyes. Srila Jiva Goswami. Ikshika tulahi means by the cotton-like material found on the reeds. Iksha Keshi kama lanam chita tula barishu, a short vowel substitute for a long vowel for ishtaka before chita, for ishika before tula, and for mala before barishu. Panini 6365. Yeah. Thus, ishika tula becomes ishika tula. The friends made a line, vritihi, around the Lord. According to the present context, the words apira, cowards, means his young friends. It is improper to think that they shed tears out of fear. Rather, they experienced grief at the danger to Krishna, and thus began shedding tears. So it was in thinking of Krishna that they were like that. So they worried about Krishna's going to be affected. And it says a cotton-like material found on reeds. That sounds like it's cattails. You have those. Sometimes you see it down in the water, that, you know, in creeks and things like that, that you have these reeds that stick out. They also have some nice green, little thin green leaves, but they come up, and at the very top, there's this kind of like little puffy part at the top that's bigger, that's like soft and furry and that. Mm. You ever seen that kind of, we call them cattails.
Whitish?
They're means when they're, I think when they're ripe, they're kind of a brownish red.
Oh, yes.
It's long. Yes. You know, the reed will be more of a...
Oh, yes, yes, now I understand.
Yeah, the reed is more of a light brown,
yes.
And that's more of a reddish brown.
Yeah.
And then yeah, there's a little, kind of, you know, little spike out the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fun part is also in Europe, the roots of these, that's what they would take, the confectioners, and whip it for like eternity, and they'd get marshmallows.
Mm.
Really?
That's the original marshmallow, because that's why it's a marshmallow.
Marsh.
Yeah, it's from the marsh.
Oh,
the marshmallow. It was because the marshmallow. It's somehow or another it's the mallow from the marsh.
Oh.
Then somebody figured out that you have to, and it was so rare because there was so much work that only the high class places and a few had it, and only rich people could afford it. Then somebody figured out you could take egg whites and make it. So then it became a common thing.
Yeah.
But now it's not made from those anymore. But it was the roots of those. So,
oh.
So here is that, because it says spread around through the cotton from dry reeds. So they have that cotton at the top.
Oh.
So they would be... Because they're a very nice-looking reed.
Yeah, they're nice.
Like that. A lot of other reeds are just too popped together. They come out really nice, a little bit spread apart. They have little nice green leaves at the bottom.
Yeah.
They're kind of the nicest-looking reed that's in the water. And generally, they're in more fresh water.
Yes.
You don't see them in the more stagnant water.
We had them in the kibbutz.
Yeah. You'll see them when you go out into the countryside, you'll see them. So, it's not out of fear. So you see is that it becomes something that they want to do. It becomes an activity that they want to do. It's coming as satvika, but you also see there's the anubhava about performing that activity, to protect Krishna. 3.3, 102, 103. Those knowledgeable of bhava say that all the vyabhichari bhavas except ferocity, avriya, sudden fear, trasha, and sloth, alasya, are present in preo rasa. Right, because they don't have that ferocity towards Krishna. They'll have mock fighting. That's what I always meant. They never get anything. Sudden fear. They don't have that because they're with Krishna. So they don't. Demons are here. Okay, what can the demon do? That's why they walked into Kali's. I mean, that guy,
Agasura's
mouth. Because they said, what can this guy do? Krishna's here. Let's see what Krishna does. And sloth. And they're always enthusiastic when Krishna's around. They're always active and doing stuff. However, in separation from Krishna, rapture, mada, joy, harsha, pride, garba, sleep, nidra, and steadiness, dhriti, do not appear. In union with Krishna, death-like symptoms, mriti, debility, klama, glani, sickness, vyadi, epilepsy, apasmriti, and thinking oneself unqualified, dinata, dainya, do not appear. So in general, those three don't appear, but then you'll see if there's a separation, these ones won't appear, and if it's in union, these ones won't appear. Srila Prabhupada. Oops. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Jai.